and welcome to the Pod of the Damned. I'm your host Ian. Joining me this week is my co-hosts Nico. How are you doing?
Ah, no bad, yourself?
I'm doing very, very well. And Candy, how are you?
Pretty groovy.
Pretty groovy, yeah. So it's been, as we were just saying there before we came on the before I hit record, it's been a while. We've been away for a few weeks. I think I put on the socials that, you know, we were going to be coming back this week, and you know, people seemed excited that we were coming back. So I guess that's a good thing. Hopefully, if you're listening to this and you've been missing us for the past few weeks, we're back. We took a few weeks break. I think every single one of us had various bits and pieces going on in the last few weeks that just meant, you know, we needed to take, you know, a few weeks out to just sort of deal with some stuff and sort ourselves out and just sort of get through it. But we're back. We've got a very, very interesting topic today, which we'll get into in just a second. Before we get into anything, don't forget, if you would like to support this podcast across our social media platforms, we're on X at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Pod of the Damned. You can subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/Pod of the Damned. And you can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. At Pod of the Damned, we are a horror podcast that deep dives into a different topic every week in our quest to create a leaderboard of the best and worst horror movies of all time. This is episode number 107, and in today's show, we're talking all about Willy's Wonderland. This is your pick, Nico?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
I think this was your pick, yeah. Why Willy's Wonderland?
Because it's better than the thing it's based on.
We'll discuss that when we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. But you know, some people think
I'm holding myself back at the moment.
Some people, that's up for debate. Let me tell you, we'll get into the reviews section at the end of the show. But we got some very mixed reviews from some of our followers about this movie. I think this could be a very interesting discussion. Before we get into the movie, as always, you know, this will go on to our leaderboard at the end of the episode. Do you guys want to have a prediction of where you think it's going to come on the leaderboard? Bear in mind, this is our 98th movie that we've reviewed. Where do you think it's going to land? Where do you think everyone's going to sort of rate it?
I don't think it's going to be very high.
I'm going to put it at
74. 74, okay. Nico, are you gonna?
I think it'll be higher than that.
You think it'll be higher than that?
I think it'll be 69.
60. Yeah, you're going for comedy, nice. 69. Of course you are. Right. With that being said, we will just get straight into it then. And in today's show, we are talking all about Willy's Wonderland.
Welcome to Willy's Wonderland. Spend the night cleaning Willy's Wonderland, and I will pay to have your car fixed. Deal? You are officially on staff. Let's get the hell out of here. I can't stand to hear a grown man scream.
This place has a dark history. I know the bullshit story they told you. It's a lie. You're here to be a human sacrifice. Have you been listening to a word I've been saying? He's gonna die in here, but he won't listen to me.
The machines got out. Nobody is safe.
Put your balls on, Evan.
We're going to Willy's.
He's not trapped in here with them. They're trapped in here with him. It's your birthday, and we want you to have fun. It's your
birthday, so let's party. It's birthday time.
I enjoy a man a few words.
Ah! This movie was released in 2021, was directed by Kevin Lewis, and stars Nicolas Cage, Emily Tosta, and Beth Grant. The IMDb plot is as follows. A quiet drifter is tricked into a janitorial job at the now-condemned Willy's Wonderland. The mundane tasks suddenly become an all-out fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics. Fists fly, kicks land, titans clash, and only one side will make it out alive. Right, Nico, since this was your pick, I'll let you give your overall thoughts first. You said you said there you picked this because it's better than the thing it's based off of. Obviously, we're talking about Five Nights at Freddy's, which is what it's based off
Definitely.
Of.
Definitely.
What is it about this movie you think that makes it better than the Five Nights at Freddy's movies? Before you said that, I would say the Five Nights at Freddy movies is fucking abysmal. I hate that movie so much. But why do you think this is better?
See, this is why, yeah.
Matthew Lillard couldn't save it.
No, you definitely could not.
Right, so... Well, Five Nights at Freddy's should have been good. Because it's a great game. And this is more like what it should have been like, I think. Mm-hmm. This is basically a rip-off of that, and it's actually more fun. It's just cheesy enough to be funny.
The thing is, like, this movie is a total ripoff, right? It's a total ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even a hint of, like, saying, oh, well, they came up with, like, some things that are, like, original. No, this is just a complete Five Nights at Freddy's ripoff. I can't remember, like...
a slap in the face, like, hey, we're doing this. What are you going to fucking do about it?
Was there at the time some... I could be making this up. Was there at the time some sort of... dispute about Five Nights at Freddy's getting a movie or something like that, that this needed to be made? I don't remember there being anything, but I feel...
I don't remember anything. I don't, because, you know, the horror community, and like, I just don't remember there being much of a big deal about
it. Yeah, but it feels like one of those things, doesn't it, where, you know, like, video game fans and horror video game fans, they've been kind of crying out for a Five Nights at Freddy's movie for a while, and it just feels like a very bizarre thing for us to have gotten this instead of just getting the Five Nights at Freddy's movie that we got, ended up getting, you know, at the end of last year.
I have a question really quick. Do you feel like maybe Willy's Wonderland inspired them, like, gave them the kick in the ass, like, yeah, I guess we should go ahead and make the Five Nights at Freddy's movie?
I mean, possibly, you know? But at the same time, for as much as, you know, Nico said, and, you know, obviously, Candy, I'll let you have your thoughts in just a second and get them out, because I think you've got some choice thoughts about this movie.
I do.
I would say, in general, especially probably amongst sort of the more hardcore horror fandom, Willy's Wonderland, it's liked, but the movie bombed. Like, the movie didn't do well. The movie really bombed. So, I don't know, like, the whole situation to me just feels kind of bizarre and kind of out of place. It just doesn't seem to sort of fit with how things tend to go in the movie world. But anyways, Candy, you've bit your tongue for a few minutes there. Give us your brief overview. I've got a feeling you don't like this film, but tell me what. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't like this film. I hadn't seen it previous to, you know, it coming up on the docket to record. So I rented it, and Sean and I were watching it, and just like, I lost track of how many times we looked at each other and we're like, what the fuck? This is stupid. It feels very, and I'm dated here saying this, but it feels very direct to video, almost like a Full Moon feature movie from like the late 80s, early 90s. And there's a thing that I say, you know, if your movie, especially a horror movie, becomes a cult film, it lives forever. Mm-hmm. But it's usually films that are, you know, that are being made that aren't trying to be that. They're trying to actually make a good movie, but it ends up becoming, it's like not great, but becomes like a big cult thing.
Yeah.
This feels like it's trying out of the gate to be a cult film. And when you try to make a cult film, you will fail. It will not work. And I see the love for this movie, but... like from other people, for me, I was really bored because like it feels like it should have been cool, and the moments that were cool were bogged down by the fact that it's boring and there's a lot of unnecessary characters. Like the kids all coming in there was fucking dumb. It was just for kills, and the kills weren't that cool, you know. So it's like, okay, and Nick Cage, you know, he wanted to do the role because he thought he was intrigued by a non-speaking role, but it's like, you know, it's irritating. It was not made well enough to where I was like, okay, it's cool that he's doing this one by one. It's like, you know that they're coming back to life, and he's like this super badass drinking his little energy drinks or whatever. Why didn't he just fucking take them all out? He knew they were evil. Just fucking do it, damn it, you know? So it's just like annoying because it feels like it's about 3 hours long and it's not. It's like, and I love the pinball dance scene. There's things that I really liked, but because the movie was so bad, they don't work.
I think the funny parts don't work. I think the thing for me is, right, so I tend to agree with you. I'm kind of in the middle, I think, of the two of you. So, like, I think I'm sort of slap bang in the middle, whereas I do kind of like this movie, but it's not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, Candy, I do agree with you that this very does feel like they've just tried to come out and be like, we're going to make a cult hit. And you're right. If that's your intention, Jen, like, you're it's not going to work. But then in saying that, I would say this movie kind of has reached cult status within the horror fandom. So, you know, like,
but then again, so is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and that's a god awful piece of shit too.
Has anyone seen the sequel yet?
No.
Dear God, no.
Because I'm probably going to go and watch that once we finished here. Because I'm really,
I'll waste my money, but I don't like to waste my time. My time is
valuable.
Other garbage to watch.
I know it's going to be terrible, but I have to see it. It's one of those ones where I just
have, like, looking at the car wreck.
Yeah, that's.
I want to see Tigger. That's why.
I saw a still of Owl. I know we're getting off track. I saw a still of Owl, and Owl looks like the fucking creeper from Jeepers Creepers. Honestly, it's insane. But anyways, so yeah, I feel like with this thing, so we're trying to make like sort of cult movie, and I feel like in your lead, Nick Cage is probably the right guy. I think the casting of Nick Cage is the right choice for a movie like this, right?
Yeah,
100%.
I do agree with that. Yes,
but I think, you know, when we're referencing, you know, the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, for as much as we all love Matthew Lillard, there was no saving that film. And he was also in a completely different role as well. You know, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, but he's playing our main villain. Whereas here, you've got Nick Cage, who is our hero, anti-hero, however you want to call it.
He's like an anti-hero, I guess.
Yeah, but the decisions that our characters...
He's kind of a fucking dick.
The decisions our characters make in this movie are so fucking stupid. They're so dumb. You're talking about, you reference there, why doesn't he just go and kill all the animatronics, right? My question is, so when the police woman, I can't remember her name, the sheriff, when she comes in, he's already killed off like half of the animatronics at this point.
I know.
Why doesn't she just let him kill off the rest and free the town? Why does she then?
Yep.
Because we would run out of movie. That was the answer.
But that would be the logical.
Once there's no movie. If the sheriff's, let's go ahead and kill them all, there's no movie. So it's like, and you know, we had to build up to the big showdown with, you know, Willie the Weasel or whatever. And it was the most lame climax.
I think
that adds to its charm, though. Because, right, you say it's like a straight-to-video movie, right? And I think they were deliberately doing it. I think somebody saw all those straight-to-video movies and went, I want to make one.
I think you're right. I think they have exactly done that. I think they've completely went out there and gone, I want to make this cult movie that's going to have this aesthetic. But when you set out to do it, it immediately becomes less cool. It's only really cool when you do it by accident. If you set out to do it, it's less cool straight off the bat.
It has to be a serendipity thing, you know, because you have to have the attention to detail of, I want to make this film, but then it ends up being like, super, like, I'll use Hobgoblins directed by Rick Sloan, for example. Like, he was actually trying to make a decent horror film, but then when he saw the puppets, he's like, oh, this is going to be bad. But he still gave it like 100%. Huge cult classic. Now, when he did Hobgoblins 2, he was trying to make another cult film, and it fucking sucked. Whereas the first one was so fun, so trashy, so low budget, but charming.
I think that's the thing. That charm comes in, right? When, if you're trying to make a good film, us as the viewer can tell that, you know, the director, the producers, the actors, they're making it with love and passion and care. it's just turned out to be a bit shit, you know? And like, that's how it is. But we, as a viewer, are so much more forgiven for a lot of stuff when we see that. Whereas if you just set out to make this fucking piece of trash movie, but you want it to be a cult hit, it doesn't have that same feeling behind it. Nico, you look like you've got stuff to say.
But, like, I love... I put it this way. I thought, because it was you that talked about this that got me to watch it, I remember.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this has got to be fucking shit. Because you were like, oh, you've watched Five Nights at Freddy's, this one's better. And I'm like, right, I'll give it a try.
I wasn't
and
wrong.
I just... Aye. You're totally right, like, but...
Oh, wait, say that, like, say that again, Nico.
I thought, right up until that first kill, I thought, you're wrong, this is going to be shit. And then that first kill just drew me straight in. I'm like, this genuinely is like those shitty movies I used to rent when I was a kid. And I was hooped.
The thing is...
That's what I meant by, like, the full moon kind of movies, you know, there's like, because it was like Trauma and Full Moon. Trauma went a lot trashier, but Full Moon was like trying to make a little bit more serious movies, cash in on some bigger names. This feels like those from that I would get from the video store back in like the 80s and 90s. So
exactly,
I think as well,
it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think it's
the sheriff and stuff that, like, Nick Cage is brilliant in this and makes the movie. But the sheriff is just an absolute fucking cunt as well. as you're saying, let him just kill them all off, you know? And she's willing to fucking wipe him out and let them fucking bodies pile up in this place.
But again, like, going back to that decision, why doesn't she just let her adopted daughter burn the place to the ground? There's no reason for her to not let her just do that. Like,
because
the movie could be over.
This could be a
5 minute long movie, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, but that's the thing. Like, it is that, like, without Nick Cage, this movie is horrendous, right? This movie.
I don't think anybody would have watched it if he wasn't in it.
I think we'd be getting, I think it would get to the end of this episode and we'd be giving this zeros and ones if it wasn't for Nick Cage. Because Nick Cage is incredible in this film. Nick Cage, obviously.
But that's the other thing I love. I love the fact he's just sticking to the rules. Like, he's a way to fight one of them, and his alarm goes off for his break, and he's like, but in a minute, here you go, see you later.
It's like one of the kids would be getting killed, which, thank God, because fuck them kids. But like,
I know.
He is totally, you know, at fault, like, for a lot of those kids dying.
I know!
The weapon, and he's like, you know, the knife, and he's like, break time. You know, it's like...
That's brilliant, I love that. I love that.
He's so at fault for most of these kids dying just because he was on his break at the time.
Yep.
But like you say,
get a little disturbing here. So we've got, and I didn't even write down her name. I apologize for that. Our main kid, what's her name?
Liv? Is it Liv?
Liv.
Well, the adopted daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the adopted daughter.
Yeah.
You know, the sheriff's adopted daughter, Liv. Like, I thought, like, her performance was pretty good. Like, she was committed to the role. But, like, she leaves with him at the end. And, like, even when they see each other for the first time in passing, when she's in the handcuffs and, you know, he's in a tow truck, it's like, I was like, I turned to Sean, I was like, are they in love now? Like, because what was that look?
Yeah, so...
And
so,
then she leaves with him, and I'm like, this is getting icky.
Well,
this
that's...
Is icky.
So I didn't
I
have it in my notes.
I thought it was going to be... his daughter, so that's why.
Well, I have
that,
it in my notes.
First scene where she looks at him.
I have in my notes questioning: are they fathers and daughter? Are they like father-daughter relationship, or are they like lover relationship? Because there's very clearly.
The weird thing is you can't tell, and that's kind of gross.
Yeah, and there's very clearly a very, very large age gap between the two of them as well. Like it feels. I mean, they never. In fairness, they never go out of the way. There is no sort of romantic aspect when they're actually interacting with each other. So
it's just
know,
a weird look.
It, but it's the
it
weird look at the beginning.
Look.
It's the way they
it's
sort
of
drive
kind
of off together.
Long stare.
Yeah, and then like you've got that scene at the end where he like hands her his energy juice. What do we think the juice is, guys?
that is liquid cocaine.
Steroids.
That's
just drugs in a can.
Liquid steroids.
Just a mixture. Go fight machine juice. That's what that is.
And you know, I'll agree with you. I think Emily Tosta, who plays Liv, I think she's fine in this movie. There's nothing she does that's particularly bad. It's just a bit of a sort of... Everything else outside of Nick Cage is a bit meh. The sheriff, I think, plays her part pretty well as well. She's probably the next one. And Beth Grant plays the sheriff. She's quite a well-known actress as well. You know, you've been in Donnie Darko and Speed and No Country for Old Men or something like that. I can't remember, but she's been she's been in like some pretty major movies. So she's quite a big name as well. But no one else really comes up to Nick Cage's level. And we obviously know Nick Cage's level is pretty high. You know, when he's on it, he's on it. And 2021, let's face it, at this point, he's slap bang in the middle of his sort of big renaissance, especially in sort of horror films as well. You know, where he is one of those.
But, you know, I gotta be honest with you. Because, you know, in 2018, we got Mandy, which mm-hmm. was a huge... That was the beginning of that Nick Cage renaissance, right? So how do you go from Mandy, which is like artistic and amazing and just really plays up Nick Cage's strengths, to this piece of shit? It's literally because of Mandy that people watch this film.
Well, the thing is,
think he just wanted to do it because you know what Nick Cage is like. He's always done it his whole career. He'll be in an artsy-fartsy fucking movie, and then the following movie will be a fucking piece of shit that he's doing it for a mate, and then he'll do another one that is just fucking, I'm going to go ultimate Nick Cage.
There's a saying that people say about Nick Cage is that he never says no to a role.
I mean, it has kind of been his entire career to do that, to be in something that's really sort of artistic and, you know, got deep meaning and thought, and then to do something kind of mindless, you know, because like...
And this is the mindless one, I think.
Well, let's say, like you say, you got Mandy, Mandy in 2018, you know, you got Color Out of Space the year after, and I think they're kind of similar vibes in certain ways.
Yeah, and it's a great vibe. Riding the crest of that, I feel like this is like that little blip where it kind of goes down, despite going down with this. And then, people watched it based on Color Out of Space, based especially on Mandy. Mm. They're like, oh, he was great in Mandy, and he's doing these horror movies, and he's really, you know, having a lot of fun and doing these things. But then they want, you know, for me, I watched this and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. But obviously the same year this came out as well, he also came out with Pig, which is, I think, pretty good. I would rather watch Pig than Willy's Wonderland.
Yes.
For as much as I don't hate. And then obviously we got Renfield last year as well. You know, see, like, they just
loved that. Renfield.
Renfield was great.
Yeah, I love that.
And it bombed. My kids and I, we actually, as a family, we go to the drive-in a lot in the summer, like almost every weekend. And we went and saw Renfield, and it's like it was a whole family agreed on that movie. That was a fun fucking movie, genuinely funny. You know, and it had a decent budget. I'm sorry it bombed because I really wanted it to do well. I loved it. I had so much fun. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how that bombed, because everyone I've ever talked to about it fucking loves it. And you're like, how?
But this is what I'm saying as well. And for as much as Renfield is a far better movie than Willy's Wonderland, it's kind of the same thing with this one. If you talk to people, most people will say that they like this movie.
Yes.
But do people genuinely like it, or do they just say that because it's better than Five Nights at Freddy's?
I think it's because it's better than Five Nights at Freddy's, because everyone I've talked to as well compares the two and says, this is what Five Nights at Freddy's should be.
I mean, now they do. And I do think there was some talk about it after it came out, like, oh, you know, we didn't get a Five Nights at Freddy's movie because we didn't get that until, you know, just recently. So now we have this, and it's a lot of fun. But,
what do you prefer out of this and Five Nights at Freddy's?
This.
I'm going to pick D, none of the above.
it's you've got to pick one. Which one's better?
I'm genuinely stumped.
So somebody comes up to you and goes, I'll give you $1 million to recommend one of these two.
Well, yeah, obviously, you're offering someone like...
At least Five Nights at Freddy's, I wasn't bored at times.
See, I was bored in that one.
I was bored, but like not as bored as like genuinely watching Willy's Wonderland. I just kept like getting up to smoke. I'm going to go make a fresh drink. And I'm like, you don't need to pause it. I'm not missing anything. I mean, I was watching it from the kitchen and stuff, but I was just like, I have shit to do. So I'm going to I'm going to go in there and do it because this is going by so slow. At least Five Nights at Freddy's, it didn't feel like it was 8 million years long. You know?
See, yeah, I'm the opposite.
I'm kind of the opposite there as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end, you know, my hatred for Five Nights at Freddy movie is well documented, so it really didn't take much for me to enjoy something more than that movie.
I hate them both. So I'm an equal opportunity.
like, let's get down to some of the sort of nitty gritty details of this movie. Okay. Not that there's really that much to delve into, because
not a lot of depth.
I would say the plot is a little thin, right?
Is it? This movie is a
switcheroo. Got an eating disorder.
Yeah, this is an anorexic plot, right?
Yes.
But that's part of why I like it as well, because this is genuinely, it's one of those ones you could just switch your brain off. Do you know what this is? This is a date movie, because you could do other shit while you're watching.
You know what? I kind of get your point. And Nico, you're going to hate me, because I'm about to bring up a movie that I bring up all the time. But we, you know, when we talk about movies that maybe lack a little bit of plot, you know, my head goes to things like Terrifier, which the first movie...
Yay, drinking game, everybody at home, drink.
It only took 24 and a half minutes, guys. I think that's a record. You know, that movie doesn't have plot. Like, there's very, very little plot in that first Terrifier movie. However,
yeah, in the first movie,
has is iconic killer. It has really memorable kills that people are still talking about, you know, in the horror, like, community.
It has... charm.
This movie doesn't have that. You know, I think you mentioned it earlier, Candy, when we're talking about the kills, we're talking about the fight scene. Killing the kids, like, they're all really sort of generic kills. There's nothing super memorable about...
They're there for fodder.
No, 100%. But
and every single kid was a trope, but they didn't even give enough time to fully flesh out just a trope.
I mean, the two of them are there literally just so they can die whilst they're having sex. That's literally why two of them are there, you know?
Yeah, when we see that girl, she looks like the girl in horror movies that would be named Candy.
I've got a funny feeling she won't.
Trust me, I noticed these things. You know, she's got... She dresses how I used to dress, in the mini skirt with the knee-high socks and all of that. You know, we know she's like our, for lack of a better term, and I mean this in a, I can use this word because it's my word, but I have slut earrings on. My earrings is slut. The slut, and no shame on that, because like, get your thing, girl. But it's like, those two characters, the sex scene went on way too long. I'm like, fucking kill them.
Because like, they kept like having sex and then stopping and be like, oh, one of the animatronics is here. Oh, that's fine. Oh. It's not going to kill us, though we know that they're killing people.
Let it watch. That's my favorite bit.
How did he keep his boner going? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there would have had been some fluffing in between, because they stopped so many times.
Well, I don't know.
I can definitely tell you how he could get fluffing. Right?
Well, I will say, for as much as she is only there for sex appeal, she's a very attractive...
She is very, very hot. I found her very attractive. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to commit to a sex scene, you know, take off your fucking clothes. In these movies, it's like, we're going to do something skanky. And let me tell you, as a woman, we don't keep our bra on during sex. You know, we want some boob touching. You know,
so that's a lie. I know girls.
I'm only going to remove my panties. And I'm going to be in my bra. It's like, she's hot. I wanted to see the boobs. At least the boobs would have given me.
But that's the thing as well, right? And this, not to be that guy that's like, oh, put more tits in films. But like,
I like boobs.
But the thing is, they're all such generalistic horror tropes. All of these kids, they're so tropish. To then pull back on that particular trope, oh, we're not going to have tits in this film. It feels like, what the fuck are you doing? I think like, more people would have liked it if there'd been some boobs in this film.
Honestly, yeah, because then it would have really committed to the trash. I mean, I grew up watching exploitative, and you know that I watch a lot of grindhouse and exploitation movies, like the women in prison movies and stuff, and I'm bisexual. I love titties. I mean, it's just like, if you're going to go that direction, just go. Go yeah. all the way. Don't yeah. pull back on that on the sex scene. Get trashy with it.
See, I agree. I think like I think they should have got an extra.
Nico, I'm not shocked that you agree that there should be more tits.
No, but you know how they've went proper, right? This is proper trashy movie, right? But it's funny as fuck.
It's
if
not.
They'd done that and had like a Sasha Grey in that, if they had had like a Sasha Grey in that role, would you have not just been pissing yourself off and going, she's got to fuck somebody and die at the start? And I would have loved that.
See, it's the formulaic thing, but at least in the 80s, they weren't afraid to like get fucking naked and make it look like they're actually fucking.
But that's
yeah,
it.
And get right sexy. Into it as well.
But that's make it, isn't it? Sexy. Like, they're just not. They're pulling back, and that's partly why we have that sort of feeling that we were speaking about at the beginning, where you know you just like they're making this trashy movie, but it's not being made with the care and the love and the commitment that all those sort of trashy 80s movies were actually giving us, you know. So again,
or even like you know Herschel Gordon Lewis movies, who he was the one that perfected the gore with nudity and sex stuff. It's like, you know, if you're going to do the bit, do the fucking bit.
I mean,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You can't have like this moral code suddenly in a what feels like a would be a direct-to-video movie in the 80s. Like you got to if you're going for that feel, you've got to do the whole thing.
The thing is as well, right? So this movie over here,
I don't get sidetracked.
Huh? Sorry.
This Carry movie on. Over here was rated 15, right? I'm not sure what it was rated in, right. in the States.
R.
An R rating. So the flash of tits, right? Even if it was just for a brief second, it's not going to affect its rating either. So there's no concerns there. You're allowed to have nudity in these movies. Like, it just feels yeah. like a really... I don't know. Maybe the actress has stated this, that she didn't want to get nude on screen. I don't know the ins and outs of that.
But she'll simulate sex. But honestly, I don't even think that it may be, I mean, that might be the case that she chose not to get all the way nude. But the thing is like, we do see her ass because she's wearing the tiny little panties and they're yeah. like looking up there.
I'd rather climb the ladder to get on the roof to fall into the
yeah,
place.
And
that
then
is like, just, oh.
Nico, you'd be fucking
and like her, she has at
rungs.
Least a G-string on.
I am not that bad, you cunt.
Yeah, you are.
I am not.
But the thing is like, you know, she'll simulate sex and do this kind of trashy scene.
Yeah.
But she won't. Not show the boobs. It feels much more like a creative choice by the writer/director.
Yeah. And then to me, that's just like a really bizarre choice for them to have made.
Yeah,
so.
it didn't feel trashy enough.
Yeah.
Where that, yeah. I think that it pushing the trashiness would really have added to the, like, the word I keep using, the charm of it. You know, as somebody who likes these exploitation movies, I want some nudity, I want some sex, I want some gore in these types of movies. That's what I've come to expect. Don't pussy out on me when it comes to this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It just yeah. feels like they've held back. It feels like they've not given us something. And there just doesn't seem to be a really good reason for it. The only right. good reason for it would be that the actress said she wasn't going to get her tits out on screen. But as you've said, Candy, it doesn't really make sense when she's played this super trashy character. We've already pretty much seen, you know, her entire...
Her whole ass.
Her, might as well have seen her arsehole at this point, you know, because of how much
it was up in there.
It's out, and, you know, she's simulating this sex scene. It seems like a really bizarre choice. And like you say...
And the sex scene goes on way too long for not being sexy or trashy in the least.
But that's the weird thing as well, right? So as soon as they fall into the thing, right, as soon as they fall into the fucking place and all the kids are in the place, they're like straight away, super happy fun room, let's go fuck! And you're instantly like, you're gonna die. Like,
and they're from the town where all this shit happened. They
know
the story's just like, Liv's their friend, but they're just like, let's go fuck in the murder room.
Yeah! And then she starts getting turned on by it. That's even better.
It's just so bizarre. And then just to sort of finish up on the kids, you've got this other kid who's like obsessed with the shop. You've got this other kid who's like obsessed with Liv, and is this again trope of this sort of like unrequited love, and that he would do. Listen, throughout my life, and I'm sure everyone's the same. I've had crushes on many, many people throughout my life where, you know what,
yes.
they probably could get me to do a lot of things for them just because it's them. However,
but nothing involving possible death.
However, I'm not dying for them. Fuck that.
Especially if it's just a crush. Like if it was like my husband or my children, I'll die for them. Like
of course.
A person I have a crush on, like I'll get over it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing with a horror trope I always found hysterical, you know, it's like the unrequited loved one always ends up saving that fucker. And you're always like, if I was in that position, I'd be like, well, you've not put to now, you're not going to put it for your deed, are you? So see you later.
Right.
I'm going to hit her, you get what I mean?
Just to very quickly touch upon like the victims again. There's the scene right in the very opening scene, right? And it really, really fucking pisses me off. So that very opening scene where we've got this couple that's in Willy's Wonderland.
That's Liv's parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dad gets dragged away, but they visibly show you that there's nothing dragging him away. And that fucking irritates me every time.
And it's that like, oh, look how cool we are because we're doing that shot like every fucking movie does in a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I rewatched this and I was taking notes for this episode, obviously I've seen this a couple of times before, but I did get confused between the Five Nights at Freddy movies and I was like, did the cupcake drag him away? But that's the wrong fucking movie. What I want to talk about, so are we to assume, because this is how I read it, that one of these missing people that's obviously been victims is either a relative of Nick Cage's or someone he was in a relationship with, because I kind of got the vibes that he went there on purpose.
See, I got told a theory from somebody, right, which was quite cool. They were like, oh, he's like the fucking Spirit of Vengeance type thing, like the Ghost Rider, but in human form type shit, right? Was basically what they said, and this cunt just goes from fucking town to town, ridding the world. Basically, he's supernatural, you know? He's fucking going through getting rid of them. And that's why he connects to Liv, because Liv's the next one that takes over.
So the
I thought was an interesting theory.
So the reason I have this sort of theory is, for me, it's one of the few things that might actually, you know, explain some of the actions that happen. So it might explain why, you know, he just takes them on one by one. It might kind of explain why he doesn't get the fuck out of there and why he carries on doing the janitor job that he continued. It's the only thing that I can sort of realistically think of that might, and I'm being kind of loose here, might rationalize some of the things that happened in this film.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't...
So that's why I quite like that theory.
I don't think it warrants that kind of...
if I thought about this analysis. Too much.
You know, I feel like, you know, what we know is just that, you know, I don't feel like there's any, like, happenstance or he's some kind of Avenger type going around vigilante saving places or anything like that. He seems a very self-centered person. We get this tiny flash of dog tags in his car, so it's, you know, sort of like, hey, he can kick ass because he was in the military or whatever.
That is, but apparently, yeah, a reference to his role in Con Air,
right?
Yeah.
So you know, it's I don't get that from his character that there's any depth to it. Like, it's just, fuck, I gotta do this and I'm gonna adhere to these rules, which you kind of get like this military vibe to it. Like, here's my orders, I'm sticking to them. I've got these energy drinks, everything that I think was supposed to endear us or find cool about him just falls flat. Like, oh, he has to have these energy drinks, you see him drink 8 million of them, and I'm like, that's a kidney stone for me.
See, I like that. I was like waiting for it to just keel over, his heart palpitating out of his fucking chest.
Yeah, I'm like, arrhythmia, anybody? But I don't get any depth or anything at all from him. Just sort of like, he's a guy who doesn't talk, which, you know, could have worked, could have been charming. Execution was bad. I don't think it's Nick Cage's fault. I think it's the script and direction. Which obviously for him, no lines, but, you know, even like the way that he acts, it's just sort of like, yeah, I'm going to do what needs to be done because I want my fucking car, because he's clearly just, maybe he's out traveling the world like fucking Easy Rider or something, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, like,
see, I like the way he was not talking. I love that. I like the way he's like, playing the pinball machine.
What he does the best is be a huge character with a loud voice. And so it's cool that he wanted to try something different. And the fact that he was a producer on this film, mm-hmm. he was, like, how do you not know that it's terrible? Like, why wouldn't you inject just a little bit more than just the energy drinks? And I'm fuck them kids. I'm going to let them die, but I'm going to kill these animatronics. I don't know. None of it works. None of it comes together. Right. Yeah. But it has all these parts where it's supposed to be like, hey, look, we're doing something really cool here. We're doing, you know, sort of like wink and nod every time. So that took away from every moment. I did like the pinball dance, Willy's Wonderland, you know, theme song thing that they're playing there. But it took away from that one cool scene that I liked, that the movie was just abysmal and wink and nod, nudge, nudge. Look, we're trying to be funny. Look, we're trying to be quirky. Look, we're trying to be this. It's like you're treating everybody like they've got an IQ of 2. And I don't like that.
I think.
See, I like that.
Because you do have an IQ of 2, Nico.
I have proved many times.
I almost shot Pepsi through my nose.
I'm a big Carry On film fan, you know what I mean?
That explains a lot.
I love the whole fucking tug in cheek, wink straight at the camera, take the fucking piss out of it. Right? I love
never
that.
Have this guessed.
This is exactly what that movie does. And it does it fucking well.
It doesn't
well.
Do
but it's
it
not
well.
Funny.
It doesn't do it well.
I think
well.
It does.
The thing is, right, so there's a couple of things. So, like, I'm with you again, Candy. Like, the pinball scene where he's doing the dance at the end, that's the kind of energy he should have been bringing to the entire film. And had he brought that energy to the entire film, I think we'd be talking about a much better film. Because at least then the direction would be right. The thing is I have about the script as well. So, obviously, we've got this character, non-talking, non-verbal, absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. Nick Cage,
right.
You'd think, is probably one of the best people who can do that, because Nick Cage, like you say, is so known for just chewing the scenery that he could bring that level of performance to a nonverbal role. However, the script is so terrible that everyone else talks way too much around him to overcompensate for the fact that he's saying nothing. They should shut up sometimes because they do not stop talking.
I agree with that, yeah.
They do not stop
also
talking.
Did you feel like the kids who are clearly all, you know, 26, that they were extraneous? Because it felt forced, like we need people to kill. So I think it would have worked better. Like, okay, I understand Liv wanting to come burn it. We really just need to live. Those other 2D terrible cardboard copies of trying to be tropes, they don't even succeed at being tropes, coming in. I really thought that was unnecessary.
Well, this is how,
I think
this...
the movie would have worked better at a smaller.
See, they're just filler.
Yeah,
that's all they are.
Yeah, they are, but they're so there's nothing wrong. Like, horror movies have been doing it since horror movies, but there are filler.
I call them
cannon fodder characters, right? That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Movies have been doing it for the longest time. They put people in to increase the body count. That's obviously what's happened here. However, you still need to give them just that little bit of depth. Otherwise, we don't care. We don't care. And the thing is, right,
like the fact that I don't care about them.
Tell me any of their names.
Nah.
I thought that chick should be named Candy because that's the kind of chick that gets named Candy in horror movies, but I don't
know. Is it not Kathy or something?
It's Kathy. Her name's Kathy. Yes. I can only tell you that though because I've got I've got all the characters pulled up on my other screen. You know, I'm not pulling this out of my head. I literally just have
them like Troy. No, Trent.
So the kids are called.
Hold on. Let's have a guess. There's got to be a Zach or something.
No. So the kids are called Kathy, Chris, Dan, Bob, and Aaron.
Where'd I get? The names I came up with. I don't know. Because they're generic. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But yeah, that's how generic. Like, we at least need to know their fucking names, you know? Like, come on. Like,
for example, like, with Friday the 13th, there's a lot of human fodder. The kids, they're all just there for Jason to kill. And he does it expediently in a very clipped fashion where it's like, we're moving along at a good pace. So we know that, but Friday the 13th actually pulls off what this movie is trying to pull off. Whereas, like, we don't care about these characters. It'll be fun to see them get killed. One, the kills weren't great. And two, it's just, you know, they didn't die fast enough because they're like, oh, we need people to talk in this. And I'm like, I wish these people didn't talk because they're just saying idiotic shit. and not like in a, like I said, Friday the 13th does this well and pulls it off, but this movie, it just doesn't. It doesn't work at all. It just feels like too much. These people are, there's no reason for them to be there. Liv at least has a connection and a story, and I do care about her because her performance is pretty good, but everyone else, it was just like, oh, we're gonna do the Friday the 13th thing, except we're gonna make it horribly unfun.
So the thing is, well, you're talking about, you know, obviously there being like too much and things like that, but it's the same on the flip side as well. So you were like, when we're talking about the animatronics, there are too many animatronics. There should be two or three less of them, because realistically, all of the fight scenes that Nick Cage has with them are over like that. They are over so quickly. Yeah. The first, like, the only one I think that's even remotely close to being half decent is the one in the bathroom with the gorilla, where he curb stomps the gorilla off the urinal. Like, that's cool, right? That was cool. The rest of them, though, are so just mundane, and it's... The fights
especially
themselves,
the final showdown with Willie, no. It's like he beats him with his bag of cans of soda or energy drinks, and I'm like, okay, that's it.
But what I think what they're banking on is...
I like the Gator one, though. I like the Gator one.
I guess,
you know,
when
he pulls the mouth open and pull the tongue out.
Oh yeah, he does pull them. Yeah, but like. But I think the thing is, though, right? I think they're banking so much on us just being like, oh, this is so bizarre. Like, look at him fighting these, like, puppet animatronics. That there's not actual any decent choreography in the fight scenes whatsoever. And again, had there been two or three less of the animatronics, you could have given them that extra little bit of breathing space to flesh them out a little bit and actually possibly make them memorable and worthwhile.
And I think that they put so many of the animatronics in there because we're really hinging on the action in this type of film. We're really hinging on, you know, him killing these things. If he's going to kill them slowly, which God, he fucking does. You know, like, it takes forever. If you're hinging on these action scenes, at least make them fun and exciting. They're not.
Yeah, that's it. All. That's it.
See, I like the one with the ostrich for it. He butts him around. I like,
but that's the very first one, and it's over in a like split second. It's over so quickly that you never ever feel like there's any kind of actual threat to Nick Cage. I know we know,
but that's what I like about it as well.
But like,
I think it's funny.
Right, but the thing is, Nico, right? Nico, like, the thing is,
he's so OP, as we would say in the gaming industry. He's so OP.
The thing is, right? You can keep saying that's
totally.
No, but you keep saying like, oh, that's why I like it. That's why I like it. That's why I like it. But it doesn't make it right. Like, it's not good. It's bad. And that's great. That's so great. That's so great for you that you love that, right? But that it makes no sense.
About movies that are so bad. Okay.
This movie is not so bad.
It's good.
This movie is not so bad. It's good.
Totally. No, this is a so bad.
No, the thing is, right? I've so talked myself down in terms of a score in this movie because I was kind of all right on this movie coming in.
I barely have a score at this point.
The thing is, right? This movie is fine. Like, it's fine. Like, there's enough, just enough good in there in terms of Nick Cage's performance and, like, I like the score of this film. The score of this film's pretty fucking good.
I do like the score. That's a plus. I do like it.
But really they're
dance.
Yeah, and they've got some, like, good audio hooks in there, like you say, with the birthday song and, you know, the Willy's Wonderland song. Like, that's kind of cool. But there's just too much of that, just, like, it's fine. That this cannot be described as so bad it's good, because it's not so bad, because there are worse out there. There's literally the movie this is based on, the movie this ripped off, is worse than this film. So this cannot be so bad it's good, because that film's not even so bad it's good. That film's just bad.
Yeah. That film is just bad. But there is just so much stuff for this. I just like it because it is genuinely. This is the good old fashioned date night. Switch your brain off.
Listen, no,
that's what I like about it.
I agree with you. This is.
I like the fact he's overpowered.
This is 100%.
I love the fact he's overpowered.
A good, like, a bad date movie. Like, not that the date's bad, but like a bad movie to watch. When
this is 100%.
They're on like 2000 Maniacs by Herschel Gordon Lewis. There's at least, you know, like some nudity, and there's some.
At least you got some tits in that one.
And the gore in it is top notch, or Wizard of Gore, or something that's really bad, but it's fun, and you know you can fuck around while you're watching it, and you're not really missing too much. And but it's like enjoyable and it's funny, and you know it's like, so I like bad movies, but this is the kind of bad movie that I don't
like. I have a tendency to not pick the correct kind of bad movies for date nights. I think the last time I had a proper like movie date night, we watched Human Centipede 3.
Wow.
You know, for Sean, wow. And I mean it's Herschel Gordon Lewis movies, or you know, fucking just crazy shit like that. Like those are the kind of bad movies. I made him watch Pink Flamingos, John Waters, if you're a John Waters fan, which I am a huge one. I'd love to do Pink Flamingos sometime when we're not doing a non-horror. Pink Flamingos just needs to be discussed. That's a bad movie that is like bad in the coolest way. But that was our last like little kind of like, we're gonna sit down and cuddle and watch this movie. And he got so grossed out that he left. And that is a win for me. That's what I want. He doesn't pull any punches at all.
That's it. I think that's ultimately where Willy's Wonderland falls down. I'm like, listen, I know I've been pretty mean about this movie for most of this discussion. I'm still going to go out there and say, you know what? I don't mind this movie. I will watch it if it's on. I won't seek it out to watch it, but I do kind of get where you're coming from, Nico, at the same time. I know I just kind of ripped you a new one. For me, there is just like a little something that you can't quite put your finger on that I just kind of like it. But it's not good, and it's not so bad it's good. Like, it's just not, like, it falls into just being bad. This is a bad movie that I just kind of happen to like, right? And that happens. That's fine. You know, that happens sometimes. You can't explain it. It's one of those things. But that's where this movie really does fall down. It just feels like whenever they do have an opportunity to actually sort of push the envelope a little bit and go for it, they never quite do it. It's the with the kill scenes, with the fight scenes, the opportunities are really there in this movie for them to just go fucking balls to the wall and go crazy with
it. And
this
it would have been better, it's like we're doing a bad movie, but we're going to pull back on some of these scenes that would probably make it a lot more iconic.
Yeah.
And that just kind of makes me angry.
And then,
you know?
And there's also, like, we all accept.
It's simple things that make me enjoy this. And I think that's what it is. It's the simple things for this that make me enjoy it. Like, for example, you were saying about the whole, the alarm going off and he goes for his break, right? Mm-hmm. He hands her a weapon. Within about a second of him fucking off, she's lost the weapon already. like you know what I mean? The tongue lashes out and the knife is gone. You're like, what was the point of that? I quite liked that because it's a stupid thing for no reason. That's why I like it. It's mainly stupid shit for no reason. It works.
The thing is, right, like, we accept that horror characters are dumb, right? We all accept that. Yeah. We've all seen movies
it's
where horror...
It's necessary for a horror movie.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Especially...
Unless you're doing the whole elevated horror thing,
you know,
which
if
we're
you're,
not
unless
doing.
You're, like, an A24 movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, we accept that.
Like a Cronenberg film.
But there's such a difference between, you know, just making dumb decisions and just being full-on fucking idiots. There's absolute, like, some of the decisions that the characters make in this film, you can't rationalize. Like, we accept that you're going to make dumb decisions, but you can kind of rationalize a lot of the things that they actually do. But here, like, it's just like we said at the beginning, this movie should be over after the first 5 minutes. This movie should also be over midway
and
through it.
Also, why did they climb to the roof when there's only boards over the window?
It's literally just...
It's like, but you can tell, it's like, it's sort of like when you can tell the processes behind why they're doing shit. Well, they got to get on the roof because they all need to end up there so they can all get killed. It's like when you can see the machinery turning, it doesn't have any fun or charm to it. I can see exactly the wheels turning, like, well, we got to get them all in there somehow. So, you know, if you could see that they were just like cobbled this together. And I don't like that. I want it to feel organic. It could be stupid, but it's gotta be organic.
Yeah, that's it. It can be stupid, but if it makes sense and it's stupid, then that's fine. Like it works. But yes. that's just ridiculous.
They're dumb for dumb's sake.
I don't really think I've got a huge amount else to actually sort of say about this film, to be honest with you. As I said, like, you know, Nick Cage is good in this. I do like Nick Cage. I don't think he goes as crazy as he possibly could. But that kind of fits with the theme of the movie, the fact that it just all kind of feels a little bit held back. But I think he is definitely the biggest plus in this movie. Without Nick Cage, this is just... without Nick Cage, I don't think any of us even watch this. I don't think we review it. Like, I just...
Yeah, it feels very much, especially with him being a producer, like a vanity project. I want to do something I've never done. I'm in a big renaissance time in my career. And plus, I never say no to a role. And he, like, you know, he was intrigued by playing somebody who doesn't speak. But it's like, if you're going to do that and you're fucking Nick Cage, you got to make up for that in other ways.
Yeah, and we've seen him do it so many times. It feels
like a vanity project that didn't...
Yeah.
Do anything for his vanity.
I mean, again,
and it's getting a sequel as well, which is the best part.
What?
It's getting a sequel as well. It's the best part.
No, that was called Five Nights at Freddy's.
No, it's meant to be getting a sequel called, was it Willy's Revenge or something?
Oh, good.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Are you just Willy's Revenge? Is that just the title of your sex tape?
No.
I'm very quickly going to look this up just to see, because I've not heard anything. I've not heard anything about this this movie getting a sequel, so I'm just very quickly looking it up.
Because I'm sure it was near my birthday when I read about it getting a sequel.
Oh, apparently there's a fan.
When's your birthday?
Nico died. You alright?
No, I'm here. I'm just reading it.
Nico, when's your birthday? When did you hear about this?
No, it was because I heard about it right about a birthday. A birthday was like 22nd of February.
Okay, so fairly recently.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, the writer of it is writing it just now. Oh. So they're writing a sequel.
Well, they won't have to write much, will they?
No.
And now that they've taken care of Willy's Wonderland, you know, we've got Liv... who, and we've got Nick Cage's character. Like, I honestly could care less.
I think another thing as well is, right, for as much as Liv, you know, maybe hates what they're doing, the sheriff still was the person who brought her up, and she really doesn't seem to care that she died at all.
I know.
Yeah, it was a very cathartic to get her to see the sheriff get ripped in half, because I thought she was kind of a bitch. But, you know, she did raise her. But at the same time, I mean, really, the sheriff is one of the main bad guys in this film, because,
yeah,
you know, the fact that Nick Cage goes in there and kills all of them, did that never occur to anyone? They're just like, we're just going to keep feeding it people that we trap in there. Like, didn't it occur to them, like, hey, if we all go in there and fucking kill these things, we're good.
Yeah.
We're solid.
They're not even...
My favorite bit is when they're like...
Is there something in the water there that makes them idiots? I don't...
Yeah, there's mercury in the war. The funny part is as well, they're like, oh, we just left them alone, and then they started coming out and getting us.
But the thing is, like, they're not...
Burn the fucker down!
If they're not invincible, like, they're actually disposed of relatively easily as well. Like, if they were,
yeah, and so, like, when they transfer their soul into their body, it's sort of like the whole Chucky thing. That's their corporeal...
It's falling off our left.
Their corporeal, like, bodies, so it's like, they can be killed, they can be destroyed.
Mm.
And it's like, but none of them formed a posse. I mean, it's some like backwoods town. No, interestingly enough, no, I like language, so I pay attention to this shit. But everybody, all the adults have a twang when they talk, but none of the kids do.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you, like, you know, I live in what's called the Bible Belt in America. So I live in the Midwest, and just south of me is Kentucky. So the South begins at the end of my state. Indianapolis, where I live, is right smack dab in the middle of the state, like 2 hours straight shot from Chicago. But like, if you go down there, everyone talks like that. So when you live in a region where there's a dialect, you know, all these kids talk very proper and don't have this like twang to their voice. And I'm like, it just annoys me, these attention to details, like fucking goddamn it. It just makes me angry.
And they all don't fit, which is the other theory. That's the kids that survived. The theory is they all bonded together. They were all kids that were parents were killed off.
And I got to be honest with you. I live in the suburbs. So like when I lived in Indianapolis, the city is very diverse, but I live in the suburbs and it is just like a bunch of white people. And so like they're in a small town and they've got like a very diverse, and I'm just being honest, like these small towns don't have much diversity. Like usually if there's one person of color, they're like, holy fucking shit. You know, they freak out. But we've got somebody, we've got Hispanic people, we've got black people, we've got, you know, all these different nationalities. And it's like, none of them have the twang. It's sort of like they're from somewhere else.
Hence we're saying they're the survivors of the parents that have died. You know how she's like, she says, I don't occasionally that, leave one. I know, but I think it fits.
I mean, it's because
the sheriff even says it. The sheriff says there's more than one that something that left.
The sheriff has raised Liv since she was a little girl. Liv would have picked up on the way because the sheriff's got a heavy twang.
Yeah.
Voice, like a southern twang. So it's like, Liv would have picked that up growing up there and living in a town where people speak like that.
If she's been
and
brought
none of these
there.
Kids do. It's like they're like these alien children.
We've not even talked about Tex McAdoo.
McAdoo. That was, I guess, supposed to be funny or something. But whatever.
And that's about all I'm willing to talk about Tex McAdoo.
There's not really much to say besides that.
What? Wanted to make a buck off the place now that all the animatronics are dead.
I was happy when he blew up, but that fairy bitch got on my nerves. It's like her makeup started to run, and I'm like, why does an animatronic have fucking eyeliner on?
Yeah, there was like a bizarre bit of real, like, but it was only with that one animatronic. There was bizarrely a little bit of realism about it. Also, I asked this question
because
earlier about
it was actually played by, you know, it was her real body and she just had like the fake head.
Yeah. I asked this earlier about the kids and probably aside from Willy because it's the name of the film, can you tell me the names of any of the animatronics?
Oh. What is it again? I did have them a minute ago.
But there you go. That's all you need though. The fact that none of us, I couldn't either after I'd seen the film. Again, I can only do it because I've got them written down here in front of me. But the fact that, so that's...
I'm trying to remember the fairy bitch's name and I can't even remember that because it was on a poster. Was it so Sarah?
It's Siren Sarah.
Siren Sarah. So I was close.
Yeah. Aye, so they're all like that. So there's the ostrich as well. So what's that one called again?
Ollie.
I'm trying to remember the order of Ollie the ostrich.
So you've got Ollie the ostrich, you've got Siren Sarah, you've got Cammy.
I was right about Ollie.
You've got Cammy the chameleon, Tito.
Because I knew they were all alliteration.
Yeah, you've got Tito the turtle, Arte the alligator, you've got Nighty Knight, you've got Gus the gorilla.
I don't even remember a fucking turtle.
The turtle's the Mexican one that gets
run down at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he was a turtle.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, so that's, what, five out of our sort of seven non-villain characters that none of us could fucking name. That's almost every single one of the animatronics that none of us can name. We only call the sheriff because we can't remember what our actual name is.
I could have named the animatronics if you gave me a minute, you know?
No, do you know what I mean? It's just, there's so little depth to everything in this movie.
And a lot of happenstance with, as far as, like, the workers at Willy's Wonderland that all transferred their souls, you know, Ade, Dewey, Dambala, or whatever, like Chucky, into these things. And they were all child predators. Like, what's the concentration of that?
Telling me that no one knows that these are all murderers and rapists and child killers and whatever else. And
not to mention that Willy's Wonderland, it's supposed to be this big deal. And when I was a kid, there was Showbiz Pizza, and I was terrified of animatronics. And it later, Chuck E. Cheese was a side character. Later on, they all became Chuck E. Cheese's. Now, I mean, I have my own, like, it's a great basis for fear. And I think my generation in particular, I mean, Nico, you're close to my age, but you don't live in America. So,
yeah, but I did see the American style of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that was a big deal. And there's so much potential there, but it's all wasted here. Completely. I just don't understand.
Just to make a slightly separate point, I know I said, because we will move on shortly, because we've been talking, somehow we've managed to talk about this film for an hour, and I'm not really sure how quite
we've been a lot more entertaining than the movie.
Not at all. The movie is amazing.
For as much as I said I really like the score, what an abhorrent use of Freebird at the end of this movie.
That was really strange. I was like, are they fucking playing Freebird? I think that was the whole budget right there. Was to get the rights to that.
Was that some sort of Devil's Rejects ripoff? Like,
that's what I said. Exactly. When Sean and I were watching it, I was like, what, did this just become Devil's Rejects?
Like, so fuck that. Like, I love Freebird. I love that song. Devil's Rejects uses it incredibly well.
It is really well done in Devil's Rejects. And I don't like Rob Zombie movies, but I did like that one.
But what the fuck was that doing in here? I have no fucking clue.
It made no fucking sense. Yeah. But I had one more thing. The director said he was inspired by Panos Cosmatos, who directed Mandy. Did you see any influence at all? Because I fucking didn't. No. The only thing is that
just the color on the wall. That's it.
If there was
just
some
the color on the wall,
if you're going to be influenced by Panos Cosmatos and any, even not even just Mandy, just any of his, like, because that's
Possessor
we'd expect there to be some sort of psychedelic moment in this film, and there's really, really not.
There's none.
Or something artsy, because Panos Cosmatos is very artsy.
Yeah.
Like, what you clearly, you can say that you're inspired by him, but show your work. I mean, I'm going to treat this like a test. Like, show your fucking work, because I don't see it at all.
Same. Right. Okay.
Like my final.
Before we move on, I will, as always, open up the floor to you guys. Is there anything else about this movie that you guys would like to talk about before we move on?
I wish it was longer.
Shut the fuck up, Nico.
It felt like it was like 4 hours long, and it shouldn't have felt that way, because I like a slow burn. I like long movies, but usually a good long movie is intriguing, has a lot of story, keeps you engaged, that you don't mind it being long, that you kind of lose track of time. This one I was clock watching. Like,
it's because it's so repetitive. You know, you have that.
I was the opposite. I was loving it.
First 10 minutes of the movie where, just like you would do with all movies, you know, you're very, like, people are very forgiving, especially horror fans. In that first 10 minutes, whilst we're doing the setup, right, we're setting things up, we're waiting for the action to begin. Fine. First fight scene comes over in a second, and then it's just copy and paste throughout the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And because there's so many of them, it really drags its arse in the middle. Like,
and just the lack of, you know, when you're playing a mute part, and especially in this type of film, you're really dependent. Like, the weight of the film is going to be on these action sequences and the kills. And the action sequences were underwhelming. And the kills looked like shit. They didn't look good. At least give me some good gore, and I'll be a lot more forgiving, because I'm a fucking gore whore. I love gore.
Yeah.
But it's like, the gore was disappointing as well. It's just like, and it was so dependent really on those things, and it didn't deliver. And so it was kind of like, it just felt like, I don't know, pissing in the wind.
Yeah.
See, I liked the animatronic kills. I love the crocodile one, I love the ostrich one. I love the bit in the ball pit. The only thing that was missing from that was him saying Bazinga. You know what I mean? It was just fucking,
I hate the Big Bang Theory so much.
but that's what just reminded me of. Like, I even like the bit where he's fighting at the end, the big fight at the end, and the way he gets distracted is he accidentally hits the fucking happy birthday fucking button, and the confetti starts coming down. I liked it. It was stupid. It was switch your brain off fun. And that's what I liked about this.
The confetti part was cool, but I really wanted that fight because we're waiting for him. He's going to get to Willie, and we know it's going to be last. And it's just boring. And it's lame. And it feels like it held back way too much. You could have gone fucking insane with that fight. It should have been epic. And
also,
it's sort of like just the most disappointing thing. It's just disappointing.
Also, last
it's like an homage to the Borstal fucking thing, the fight at the end. The, like, what's it called? That Ray Winston fucking movie. That's what I instantly thought of back then, you know.
You got your Ray Winston tool, from you know? This film.
No, like, so you know that bit when he's loading up the tins into the bag? It's like when he's loading the pool ball into the fucking sock. You know what I mean? It just fucking made me think of that. And then he starts taping the pool cues together, which is the other weapon in fucking
the Scott. The last point for me is, this movie really pisses me off. Because it fucks so hard with my OCD watching him do all that cleaning just for it to be immediately fucking ruined.
But not only, like, okay, so my final thing, and it's an addendum to yours. He cleans the bathroom, but it not only did he clean it, it looked like there's a fresh coat of paint on it.
Yeah.
No way of getting that clean. And then he splatters all the animatronic blood, for lack of a better term, all over.
Oil.
I'm like, but you just clean that. I'm a mom, and so it's like I do dishes, and then I walk out of the room, I come back, and there's 50 dishes somehow. It's like that feeling. Yeah. I'm like, God damn it.
Right. Okay. I think we should move on.
Yeah. Sorry. My blood pressure's spiking.
Let's move on to our next segment then, and we'll talk about some trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
We've gone through quite a lot of the trivia, so this is going to be a relatively short section unless anyone has any others. According to IMDb, this movie had a budget of $5.5 million, so not a massive budget. Like, that's a relatively small budget. But it only grossed in its cinema run $500,000. It made a huge loss. I would say if, like, the sequel is coming, it's purely based on the fact that it has gotten more love post-theater release. Because it has, for as much as, you know, we've been spent this past hour absolutely panning this movie, it's gotten a lot of love on socials.
It's kind
of
like
huge love.
They made 6 Sharknado films. It's the wrong kind of cult film.
Yeah.
I hope they make 6 of these.
Dear God. Or if they do, keep it away from me.
Nicholas, so I think we've all agreed as well that one of the best parts of this movie is his pinball dance. That's one of the best parts.
Yes.
And you know what? You know what actually makes me hate this movie a bit more? I wasn't even in the script. Nicolas Cage just made it up on the spot. So, like, they didn't even, like, put that in. Like, well, what the fuck were they thinking? Like, what were they planning on having him do? Because the one good thing that is actually in this film, they weren't even going to have him do. I don't fucking know.
That's so depressing.
I know, right? Whoever wrote this fucking movie should never write another one again.
And they didn't have to write a whole lot. The story is so thin. And Nick Cage has 0 lines. And we just get a bunch of random bullshit from these fucking stupid-ass kids. And then the twangy adults. It's like, shut up. Everybody should not talk in this movie.
This movie was also originally going to be called Wally's Wonderland. I think going for Willy's Wonderland is a better choice, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Even just for pure innuendo sake, you know, it just, it makes more sense. Siren Sarah is the only animatronic that was actually voiced by her suit performer. So all the other animatronics, their physical performer didn't voice them. They got someone else to come in and do voiceover. Apart from, I think, 2 of them which didn't have any speaking parts at all in the film.
There's a point where with Siren Sarah where you can see the fake head that she has on very clearly just on there.
Yeah, she's not a good animatronic. Like, she's by far the worst out of all of them.
And she wears makeup, apparently, that melts and runs like eyeliner, like mine will.
So, it is an
energy... She's the slutty one.
It is an energy drink that Nick Cage is drinking. It's called Punch. And it, on the punch, it's got the slogan, "A fistful of caffeine for your kisser." I don't think they should go into marketing either, to be honest.
I like energy drink.
Kale.
There's a line in the movie, he's not trapped in there with them, they're trapped in there with him. That's a reference to Watchmen and Rorschach. So
when you're referencing better movies in your movie, not a good look.
And I think, apart from that, Kathy, so the slutty character, chewed 81 pieces of gum through the course of filming.
And then sold them all on OnlyFans.
I bet, yeah, people would buy them. I mean, she's hot.
Yeah. How much are they going for?
I know they're very attractive.
Nico, that's not a teddy bear behind you. That's all the chewing gum just clumped together.
Yeah.
Gum. I chew a lot of gum, so I could get behind chewing that many pieces of gum.
Do you like Zeta's Care Bear? There
yeah. That's all I have for trivia. Does anyone else have anything before we move on again?
No, I think we cover everything that I know or care to know.
Yeah, Nico?
No, I'm good.
Okay, let's move on to our final section then, and we'll talk about the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
As always, we'll start off with the critic scores. IMDb scored this a 5.5 out of 10. Metacritic has it at a 4.4. Everyone's going with sort of alliterative names. What do we think then? Candy, you can go first. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics scored this?
I'm going to go 48.
Nico?
55.
Nico is going to take it. The Rotten Tomatoes critics scored the 61%. 61%. Critics consensus, Willy's Wonderland...
I did not expect it to be that high.
Willy's Wonderland isn't quite as much fun as its premise would suggest. Huh, no shit. But it's still got Nicolas Cage beating the hell out of bloodthirsty animatronics, which is nice. It literally says, which is nice. okay, Nico, you can go first with the audience. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes audience scored this?
I'm guessing it got shit scores to start with and then good ones after. So I'll say about 75.
75?
Yeah.
Candy?
I'm going to say 50.
Nico is going to take it again. Depressingly, this movie got from the audience 67%, so even higher
scores.
Who
the hell are these people?
It's fucking loved. This movie is fucking loved.
The audience consensus, this story isn't great, but it's got a fun 80s slasher movie feel. And Nicolas Cage using random objects to destroy homicidal kiddie characters. What else do you need? Perhaps a plot, but you know... Maybe just a little bit too much. As always,
movies nowadays are good, don't have a plot.
As always, we throw it out to you guys who are listening, our followers, our listeners, and ask for your opinions on the movies. Here is just a few of them. Our friends over at the Movies for Days podcast gives this a 4 out of 10, a repetitive and disappointing waste of potential and creativity. Many decisions are nonsensical, even for a horror movie, and the COVID restrictions are clear and distracting. 2 points for the Monster Machines and 2 points for Nicolas Cage's pinball dance. Silent Cage is not doing it for me. I really thought that this would be right up Newman Street over at Movies for Days.
It does seem like Newman would like this movie.
Yeah, actually. I'm surprised.
I'm kind of surprised, yeah.
I'm surprised. I don't necessarily disagree, but I am kind of surprised.
Right.
Chat Tsunami gives it a 7 out of 10. Minimum. If the film was everything without Nick Cage, then it would have easily been a forgettable and generic horror film. But there's something so damn entertaining about him every time he appears to destroy another animatronic. Top marks for action. So a 7 out of 10 there. Ren, our very good friend Ren, this is what Five Nights at Freddy's should have been. Similar concept, but self-aware. Cage with zero dialogue is still able to ham it up. Great balance between horror and dark comedy. 7 out of 10 from Ren. Surprised that Ren's is high on this. I thought this would be the opposite.
Yeah, I was not expecting that from Ren. Everybody's surprising me with this shit. Yeah. I would have thought that would have flip-flopped. between Rin and Newman.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought as well.
That's a shock.
Sarah Marie, I actually enjoyed this one quite a lot. I felt like this is what I wanted for Five Nights at Freddy's to be. The puppets were super creepy, and it was interesting seeing Nicholas showing off his acting chops with no speaking role. He conveys a lot. It was fun and creepy. And finally, Harker Jones says, I couldn't finish it. The characters were just so stupid. Stupid even for horror movie characters. 2 out of 10. Whew! So you can see, though, there that there's a big sort of broad spectrum. And this is just that kind of movie where the people you think will like it hate it, and the people you think will hate it like it. It's such a bizarre... It just feels like this sort of weird phenomenon in the middle of, like...
It's very divisive.
Yeah. Overall, taking into consideration all the scores that we got sent in, and don't forget, if you want to... You want your scores read out in future episodes, we post all of these to our social medias, which I'll read out again at the end of the episode. But our listeners, on average, gave Five Nights at Freddy's... Five Nights at Freddy's?
Oh, my God. Freudian slip.
If we were doing that, it would be a lot lower than this.
Well, they gave Willy's Wonderland 5 out of 10. So that just leaves us... Who wants to go first?
Ladies
first.
Okay, Candy, go for it. What are you going to score Willy's Wonderland?
I gave it a 2 out of 10.
Hey!
2 out of 10.
Bored.
I literally was going like this, two fingers up, because I'm like, it's going to be a 2, she says. It's going to be a 2.
So I gave it 2 out of 10. It had potential, and every time potential was right there in front of us, it was wasted. And like I said, I love low budget films. I love a lot of direct to video films. I love Full Moon movies. I love, you know, Trauma even, but like Trauma is never boring at least. But like this is boring. I feel like it holds back like way too much when it shouldn't. It would have been more fun if the gore was more, or, you know, we went full trash on it. You know, like this for this kind of movie, it needed more trash, and I would have probably been more entertained. And I think the most important thing about a film is, you know, good, bad, ugly. I need to be entertained, whether it's because it's so bad it's good, or just I love a sheer trash factor. I love trashy films, but this isn't enough to be trashy. It's just like not enough of anything.
We've said that before multiple times on the show, that the most offensive thing a horror movie can be is mid and boring, and like
mid, it's so boring that like I just wanted to pull out my Switch and start, you know, fucking playing. They had Saints Row the Third for $3 on sale on there. And I was like, I just want to pull that out and start playing it because I'll actually be having fun doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the worst thing you can do. The biggest offense is to be boring.
Yeah.
So yeah, pull too many punches back when it could have gone whole hog and it would have saved the movie. And I need Nick Cage to be Nick Cage. I'm glad he had fun with the role and did something different. But let's chalk this up to learning, and please never do it again, Nick Cage. Never. And
but he's going to. He's going to. Nico, what are you going to rate this movie then?
So it's a 7.5 out of me for the exact opposite of what Candy said.
Oh my God.
Right. I loved how stupid it was. I loved the fact that Nicolas Cage, you can tell he's enjoying himself even though he's not saying a fucking word. I love the fact that he was OP'd and the fucking fight scenes were done very quickly and fucking shit like that. I everything about it I fucking loved. And it's all the stuff that you said was bad, the stuff that I actually liked. This is my type, but it's so bad it's good.
You know what? That's fine. That's fine. This is your type of thing. That's fine. You know, I'm just... I can't be arsed arguing with you, Nico.
You're not going to change your mind. You're the one that said I would enjoy this. And I did.
I've definitely talked myself down a little bit. I was a little bit higher on this movie going into this episode than I am now. It's such a bizarre one for me because there's something about this movie that I like. And there's something about it that will make me... I will watch this again. Maybe not for a while, but I will watch this again. I like Nick Cage. I think... There's a bizarre thing. I think a lot of the people... And I'm not saying this is what everyone thinks, but people are higher on this movie now because Five Nights at Freddy's are so bad. Five Nights at Freddy's was so terrible that I think people are...
Sent them away in droves.
Yeah, so I think people are remembering this to be better than it actually was. So there's that sort of factor. But there is things in this movie I like. I agree with you, Candy. Like, there's so many punches being pulled. I do still like Nick Cage's performance in this. I still think he's good, and there's some really fun parts. We've lost Nico, apparently his internet's just gone down, so we'll finish the episode off without him. What a shame.
Well, we got a score, and
we got a score. You did timed it to perfection. But there's something I can't, like, I'm gonna go slap bang in the middle and give this a 5, just because I don't hate this, I don't love it. It's very in the mid for me, and you know, for me that's an offense.
I can't believe you said you'd watch it again. Jesus Christ.
So
I value my time.
All of our scores combined with the critics and our listener scores gives Willy's Wonderland an average score of 5.3 out of 10, and it puts it in 81st place of the now 98 movies that we have reviewed on the podcast. So it is right down there at the bottom of the leaderboard. So it's where we want
it.
Well,
damn. I mean, I even overestimated it.
It's one place above Scary Movie and one place below Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Oh, God.
I actually like that movie.
All the Resident Evil movies and shows have disappointed me. I love the games. My daughter's name is Veronica. When I was pregnant with her, the Sega Dreamcast came out. I remember $9.99.
Yeah.
And I was pregnant with my daughter and I was on bed rest, so I would play Resident Evil Code Veronica because it was on the Dreamcast first. So my daughter's name is Veronica from Resident Evil. So I had high hopes, and then every single Resident Evil project since then has disappointed me.
I like Welcome to Raccoon City, but not because I think it's a good film, because I'm such a huge fan of Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 that I just love the amount of Easter eggs that are packed into that movie. So that's why I love it. But yeah, no, I think Willy's Wonderland's exactly where it needs to be. It doesn't deserve to be any higher up. There's something about it that I kind of like, but it's not a good movie. It doesn't deserve to go any higher up the board. So we're going to... So it is what it is. Before we go on and sort of get out of here, Candy, I don't know if you've got your list of scores for the movies there.
I do.
I'm gonna ask you, because this is
now I want you to keep in mind there are some that, not a lot, but some I have not seen, so I'll have
that's absolutely fine. I don't know if, like, last time I think I just picked three. I don't know if you want to pick three or if you want me to just pick three for you again.
Go ahead and pick three.
Okay. These were predetermined. I chose these three before and base any of these on a conversation we've had in the last 30 seconds. So the first one I want you to give me your score for is, I think Nico might actually be back, is Resident Evil from 2002.
Oh, that movie made me so angry. When I left, I was, that's, and you said, what number is it?
Resident Evil from 2002, it's the original, and it's currently, where's my leaderboard? It's currently sitting in 83rd place.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Nico.
Hello,
welcome back.
You're back.
It might be a shit signal. I'm hotspotting from the phone.
So just to catch you up, Nico, very quickly, I scored really well. I gave it a 5.
Okay.
And it's in 81st place.
Okay.
Catch up. So what we're doing...
Where it deserves to be.
So what we're doing now is Candy's just giving us the scores for a few of the episodes, few of the movies that we've covered, just to update the leaderboard. So the first one is Resident Evil, which is currently in 83rd place.
Right.
I gave Resident Evil a 3. And a quick little note on that. My One of my older besties, Adam, and we saw a lot of horror movies together back in that time period, early 2000s. And we were so excited for the film, and it was so disappointing. It just took a really great game and shit all over it. And then they made like 80 sequels, and they were all really bad.
They made so much money, though.
I know they did, but what does that tell you about, people's taste? So the best I could do was a 3 on Resident Evil.
Well, that drops Resident Evil from 83rd down to 87th. So you've dropped it down a few places because of that.
It deserves it.
Second movie I want your score from. It's currently sitting in 35th place. It's The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
I really loved that movie. I gave it a 9.5.
I'm very much on board with that. I love that
it
movie.
It was a fantastic, small little film, and it just blew me away. I thought it was fantastic.
We were both very high on it when we reviewed it, Nico. I actually watched it again just earlier in the week because I just wanted to revisit it. It's a great film.
Sean and I were just talking about revisiting it.
I love the idea of it.
The concept of it's great, and it's so well executed.
And the execution is well done. Brian Cox is fucking amazing in it.
So that moves Autopsy of Jane Doe was in 35th. It's now in 28th. So that's had quite a big jump. That's went up about 7 places. And finally, currently in 11th place, I want to know your score for the original A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I gave that also a 9.5. It is one of my favorite films of all time. It's just shy of being perfect. And we all know Freddy is my favorite slasher.
Yeah.
I just love A Nightmare on Elm Street, but I just couldn't give it a 10. But yeah, 9.5, absolutely.
Again, we were both very high on Nightmare on Elm Street. I can't remember if you were in the same camp as me, Nico. I think the only reason we didn't give it quite as high, I mean, we were both in the 8s for it. My reasoning was just because I think Dream Warriors is better.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I was just about to say, the reason mine was so low is because Dream Warriors is...
Well, Warriors is my favorite.
You say low, Nico. You still gave it an 8.5. That's pretty high.
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, you've actually just bumped Nightmare on Elm Street back into the top 10 because it was in 11th place and it's now up into 9th place. So,
yay, that's so awesome.
Knocked Dog Soldiers out of the top 10. Sorry,
but Nicole. Nightmare on Elm Street deserves to be in.
Nightmare on Elm Street is definitely it's one of the all times. Unless like I feel like again, I think I have to sort of qualify this every time we say it, just because there are so many great movies out there, and if you look down our top 10, pretty much now, because they're like people would always question us when things like Cabin in the Woods used to be in there, Dog Soldiers used to be in there, Tucker and Dale versus Evil is clinging on in 10th place, so people always question that, and we had the conversation the other day I think about comedies and how it's not. Horror comedies aren't really respected in the same way as a lot of horror films. But if you look at our top 10, you've got Aliens, Alien, Jaws, Halloween, Misery, The Thing, Reanimator, The Omen. I mean, these are all like just the absolute classics of horror, aren't there? So like not being in the top 10 is not a slight on a horror movie at all, So but yes, anyways, thank you for that update. So that's a few more ticked off the list. We'll get a few more for you on the next episode as well.
Awesome.
But we're well on track now.
I'm glad I'm making an impact.
You're making a big impact. Like I say, Autopsy of Jane Doe jumping up 7 places there, putting a movie back in the top 10. This is what happens. This is the whole point.
That movie gets slept on way too much, and I recommend if you have not seen Autopsy of Jane Doe, fucking do yourself a favor. It's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, with that being said, that is going to do it for this week's show. Don't forget, if you would like to support us on our social media platforms, and if you would like any of your thoughts and opinions read out in the show, we post so many different threads up on our Twitter, on our Facebook, on our Instagram. There's so much interaction to be done there. We put up across all of those for your opinions on the movies that we cover, so you can respond to that. Send us emails. It doesn't have to be about anything that we actually post. Send us emails about things you love in horror. We'll read them out too, and we'll have some nice discussions about it. But it's Twitter at Damned Podcast, Facebook and Instagram is Pod of the Damned. You can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com, and you can subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. Up next.
And I'm also trying to aggregate very quickly. We still want to hear your fun con stories or meeting some of your favorite horror celebs or those experiences, because I think that would make an amazing show. We want to get your stories out there because everybody's got some great or some embarrassing or some, you know, kind of wild stories, and we would really love to hear them.
Yeah, like Nico pissing off Alex Vinson.
Oh, I've got so many, like, oh my God, I have I am the most hilarious stories. Everybody's like, Candy, every fucking time you meet somebody, there's like a crazy story with it. I'm like, yes, there is. So
I really asked him what he thought of the new Child's Play.
He got so pissed. He was so pissed.
Oh, he got
my
so
best
mad.
Friend Nico, you know, he was on my former show, The House That Screams, with me, and still my best friend in the world. He and Alan Vincent, got into a fight.
Yeah, they're not friends at all, are they?
They are not okay. And Nico's like me, he kind of knows like a lot of celebs, and he and Alex Vincent like really went around and around.
So we have some common ground there. Anyways.
Nico's hate Alex Vincent.
But yes, do send us in funny stories, funny interactions you've had with anyone, any celebrities in the horror world. Send us funny stories from any cons you've been to or anything like that at all. Or even just funny incidents that have happened to you when you've been to the cinema or the theater. Just we want to hear your horror stories. And we want to tell them.
We do. We want to share them with everyone.
You know, I think that, like that would be a great, just sort of one, like every once in a while, a nice little one-off episode where we just go through some stories and have some chat, and like, so we really, really want to get your interaction. But again, also, you know, whether it comes to just telling us your opinions about movies, we really want to hear you. Listener interaction, getting your thoughts and your stories out there is part of what makes Pod of the Damned, Pod of the Damned. You know, we not all horror podcasts take this much sort of listener interaction into account, and
at the end of the day, I mean, we're all just horror fans.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know,
even though Nico's often wrong. Anyways.
Mark Hamill in a movie, yeah. And you don't even have him there.
Anyways,
that's all
right.
That's all up there.
Up next, on the podcast, we are going back to horror comedy. It's my choice next week, and we're talking about this a nice little New Zealand horror comedy called Housebound. This is a movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen, but please go out, check it out. I think you can get it on Prime.
It's currently on Shudder.
It's on Shudder just now, yeah, as well. So, as of this recording. So you can get it on Shudder. I think you can rent it on Prime for a couple of quid as well. So it's out there. Do go check it out, and we'll be reviewing that next week.
Obviously. Yeah, I may not be on the show next week because I'm taking a little girls trip. So,
well, I'm sure if you do decide to watch it, you can send us in your thoughts and your reviews, and we'll be reading them out for you as well.
Absolutely.
Gotta get
my score in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, join us for that. Until then, though, Nico, Candy, thank you very, very much for once again joining me on the show.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah.
Even though I always get it wrong, you dickhead.
You do always get it wrong. And every time I threaten that this is going to be your last appearance. But yeah, thank you very, very much to you two. Thank you to everyone who's downloaded and listened to this episode and shared it and put it on your socials. We really appreciate all of you. And until next week on the Pod of the Damned, just remember, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.